This is the Sunday Times Politics Weekly, where we unpack the week's big political stories. I'm Mike Siluma, and thanks for joining us. This week, the former head of state security agency, Arthur Fraser, dropped what looked on the face of it like a political bombshell, laying criminal charges against President Cyril Ramaphosa. With our guests, we'll try to make sense of the latest episode in our increasingly murky politics. Let's welcome to the conversation Makudu Sefara, who's the Times Life editor and deputy editor of the Sunday Times, as well as Sibonga Gonke Shoba, who is the Sunday Times politics editor.
With immediate effect.
When people resolve.
And I quote, in 2 years' time, Eskom's problems will be a thing of the past. People won't even remember load shedding. Unquote.
They put saliva on the paper.
I'm in charge. That's why these fools are running around here. I'm in charge.
And then they share that zone.
Point of order, Chairperson.
Order, Chairperson.
Point of order. The ruling party by
point of order.
Must step aside within 30 days.
No, I'm not going to apologize.
He has no brains whatsoever.
So the ANC president was sabotaged again yesterday?
Well, sabotage, that can be
this
determined.
This is not a shit.
Arms, can you please come
point
in?
Point of order.
Let's start with Arthur Fraser. One could say the spider in the middle of the web, the man who set the cat among the pigeons. What is his background? You know, who is Arthur Fraser? I know that he's done many things in his very colorful and controversial life, but maybe if we can start with a very short descriptor of what he has done and why he's important in South African politics. Makudu, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. And thank you for having me. So for me, Arthur Fraser is the country's super spy. A number of people describe him as the former commissioner responsible for our correctional services or our country's prisons. But essentially, you know, he's the country's top spy or former top spy. He spent a lot of time on what intelligence people call the farm. That is essentially where he fought quite a number of battles that have saved former President Jacob Zuma from many things and kept him from prison.
Sorry, so some of us are ignorant, you know. Is this a farm, as in farming cabbages and things? Or is it a nickname for some grand
sorry, there's no tomatoes there.
What is it?
The farm is the headquarters of the country's intelligence services. Mm-hmm. It's located just outside Pretoria. You know, we mere mortals are not allowed access there.
Yeah.
Except the people who are doing intelligence work.
Okay. So I interrupted you. You're saying that that's where he used to do his things, including looking after the former president, etc.
Yeah. So Fraser was revealed as the guy who was behind what is known as the spy tapes, the tapes that Jacob Zuma used in his battles with the NPA to say that, listen, you guys have been having inappropriate conversations and you have included political considerations in when to charge me in the period ahead of the 2007 ANC elective mm-hmm. conference at which Zuma was elected. The discussions in those tapes are, you know, do we charge him before or after? What are they, you know? So mm-hmm. and the general story is known about that. He's also, I mean, very recently we know that he's the guy who, as the commissioner of our prisons, decided that former President Jacob Zuma must be released after mm-hmm. he was incarcerated for refusing to testify, and the Constitutional Court went through the process and mm-hmm. and then he ended up in that prison. But even when the parole board said that he should not be released, it was Arthur Fraser who took a decision to release him, and that matter you know, then ended up in court.
Okay.
But if you go back, you know, you'll find that Arthur Fraser has always been a very colorful figure who comes from a family of people who have been involved in the struggle. Very early on, he's always played a role in providing an eye on security matters for the ruling party and so on and so on.
So he's through and through an ANC person. He's not like
He's first and foremost an ANC person than a government person, mm-hmm. which is why some people look at the decision to release former President Zuma mm-hmm. as a political decision, because the parole board and other people with medical backgrounds, having looked at former President Zuma, said that no, whatever his afflictions are, they are not worthy of him being released, but that Arthur came into the picture and said, the decision is that this comrade must not serve another day in prison. Okay. So he's through and through very, very much an ANC guy.
Okay. Do you want to come in here? Because the charges against the president, they seem to be quite, if they stand up, they seem to be quite serious. What is the essence of the charges that Arthur Fraser is laying against the president?
Thanks so much for inviting me once again, but Mike, we really don't know what is really the essence of the charges. All we know is a short statement released by Arthur Fraser yesterday, saying that there was a burglary at the president's home, and the suspects were then kept in the farm, and they were tortured, and that the matter was not reported to police. It relates to the theft or alleged theft of about $4 million that was allegedly kept at the president's farm. So that's all we know right now. We don't know where did the money come from. We don't know who are these suspects who are trying to steal the money. We don't know what was President Ramaphosa's role in the whole incident. Was he there? Did he catch them himself? Did he torture them? All we have been told is that there is a statement that Arthur Fraser has made to the Rosebank police station, and that he has provided some kind of proof, which is photographs, videos, and bank statements. But we don't have access to any of that. And I'm sure every journalist in the country who's interested in politics and investigations is running up and down looking for that evidence.
But clearly, you know, because you're saying that he himself issued a statement to the effect, you know, of his laying charges against the president. Clearly, he wanted the country to know. In other words, it's not like somebody going to a police station to report a car hijacking or a house burglary and then going back home, waiting for the police to do their job. He clearly is wanting the country to know. Why would he want to do that?
It seems part of a well-orchestrated fight-back strategy on Fraser's side. So what we know is that last week, Fraser wrote to the NPA, asking that they inform him if they are going to prosecute former minister Sydney Mufamadi. You must remember that Sydney Mufamadi was appointed by the president to conduct an investigation into the going-ons at SSA, and that he made a report, put together a report, and made a number of findings against Fraser. And Fraser then laid the charge against Mufamadi. So it seems as if it's part of an orchestrated long strategy by Fraser to fight back, because he himself is a man who is facing possible charges himself, because that emanate from the findings of the Mufamadi report, the revelations at the Zondo Commission. And the DA has also laid charges against Fraser. In fact, they did that in March because of the evidence that came out of the commission, and also because of what the report says. So Fraser is a man who's in the corner and who seems to be fighting back. First, he went for Mufamadi. He wants the NPA to tell him whether they are going to go ahead with prosecuting him for committing perjury because he lied about him in that report. And this week, it turns out that he's gunning for the president. He has laid a charge against the president, which will empower the president's opponents within the ANC, within the National Executive Committee of the ANC, within the National Working Committee of the ANC. This will then be used by whoever feels that President Ramaphosa is not fit enough to have a second term, to then demand that he either step aside or lobby and mobilize that he is not voted in when the ANC elects new leaders in December.
Mamakudu Esmongagonke says that this is part of the factional contest that's happening in the ANC. from where you're sitting, what would be the end game?
No, I mean that's a very interesting point. So I mean, assuming that the charges that he's laid at the Rosebank police station, that is Fraser, or at the very least, there's a proper investigation that is underway. The political implication of such a case would be that the ANC must consider whether or not this case fits in with the type of cases that it has publicly communicated. Those facing cases of this nature must step aside. So would this be part of a Fraser and or including other people who may benefit from the president stepping aside? I mean, I'm just wondering out aloud. Mm-hmm. And so if it's part of the internal factional battles, certainly it means that there's quite a number of people in the ANC who may be quite aggrieved with the step aside thing. And they're now turning it on its head and saying, you know, you, president of the ANC, have been making quite a number of people or have been lording over this ANC that has taken decisions that have ensured that quite a number of people in the ANC step aside from their positions. And so they are not, as a result of those decisions, able to contest for positions. And those who had won faced the risk of being removed from those positions. And now the same thing will be applied, or there's a possibility of it being applied on the president. Mm-hmm. And if it's applied on the president, what would that mean? It means that as a head of the ANC, he steps aside in the same way that Ace Magashule did. That means for the ANC, the space you're seeing in the Secretary General's office, you then get to see in the presidency of the ANC, you know, very grave implications there for the ANC. Mm-hmm. But also in government, in the same way that other people stepped aside from their government responsibilities, you know. So if the president steps aside, we have a deputy president in Didi Mabuza, who it would be expected must then step up and lead this. So how would all of that affect, you know, the CR22 path to December ANC elective conference? It essentially just means that the president might not be able to campaign within his own party. Mm-hmm. And eventually might be, you know, kicked out or something. Or, you know, Didi Mabuza himself, seeing what is unfolding around him, might raise his hand and say that, you know, I'm the deputy. There's just
that
6 months.
The other guy's damaged goods.
Yeah, I'm the other guy. And I mean, look at the optics. So CR comes into the... into an ANC that is battered, that's bruised from the many years of poor governance by JZ, many years of corruption and scandals, and he says, you know, Tuma Mina, let's go and fight this corruption, you know, let's ensure that, you know, there's constitutionalism in our country, there's law and order and all manner of things. And then if the same guy who has put a message like that across to win votes for the ANC then gets implicated in, you know, some malfeasance and things that border on criminality, and we say that without, of course, having had sight, as Shoba indicated, you know, of the basis of this cases that Fraser has put on the table. But the implications for the ANC are quite dire. I mean, it means going into an election with Didi Mabuza. Mm-hmm. And Didi Mabuza himself, you know, people look at him and they say, is this the future face of the ANC? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why you're having this flurry of people contesting for the position of deputy president, because within the ANC, mm-hmm. there's no consensus about whether or not that's the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
While we were speaking, Bramaik, sorry to jump in.
Yeah, no, please come in.
The presidency has just released a statement, and in the statement, they confirmed that indeed there was a break-in in the president's farm, and they are saying that the proceeds of a game auction were then stolen. But they also say that the president was not at his farm at the time of the incident, and that the president was at the AU summit in Addis Ababa. And then they are saying that on being informed about the incident, the president then reported the matter to the head of the Presidential Protection Unit of the SAPS for investigation. And it seems that there is such a case that has been opened, according to the presidency, and he's saying that he stands ready to cooperate with any law enforcement investigation. And then he says he remains resolute in leading the fight against corruption, restore dignity, blah, 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 and will not be deterred by disinformation campaigns.
Okay, Emma, could you want to say something?
Yeah, no. The president is clearly identifying this as disinformation campaign, which reinforces the points we were making earlier. What would be the point of a disinformation campaign in the year when the ANC is going for elections? Mm-hmm. Other than what appears obvious to us.
Yeah.
It may be that Fraser himself, has battles to fight and he's running away from, his own past. Mm. But there may also be that, within the ANC, there are people who believe the type of quote-unquote disinformation that the president is referring to might just help with the process of deciding who must lead the ANC and whether or not the issue of step aside, once a case has been opened and once there's an investigation and blah, blah, blah. And so, of course, I mean, flowing from this, there's going to be a lot of questions. So when $4 million is stolen from the president's house, whether it's the proceeds of an auction or, money from wherever, so he's reported the case, and who has the responsibility to communicate an incident of that nature? Should the president behave like ordinary John, go to the cop shop and say, my window was broken, someone came in and stole cash, moved away, and and then retreat to their house? Or do they say, I have the services of a spokesperson and blah, 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 don't be alarmed, there's an incident of this nature? Because when you don't communicate like that, you then risk having someone like Arthur Fraser stepping up and saying, actually, I have video footage, I have all manner of things.
Yeah.
What is in the video footage? It's just getting murkier and...
I'd like us to go back to the strategy, Makudu, that you were alluding to, of the people who want to stop Cyril Ramaphosa either finishing his current term or campaigning for a second term. So, what is your take? How successful do you think this strategy might be? What are the chances of it surviving or succeeding, rather?
But Mike, from what we know right now, unless Fraser has more information, I don't think so far it's going to succeed. Firstly, they may make noise, but based on the guidelines of the step aside resolution of the ANC, you only step aside when the NPA has charged you formally, and you are now expected to appear in court. That's the only time when you are expected to then step aside, as the case with Isma Khashule, as the case with Zandile Gumede and Mandla Msibi in Mpumalanga. Those people are charged by the NPA and they've appeared in court. So that's why they were asked to then step aside. But Mike, there are many cases that are opened against President Ramaphosa. I was having a chat with one of our producers about a case that was opened by Andile Mkhitama of BLF in early this year. He opened a corruption case against the president. There was a case that was opened against the president by the EFF in 2014, which relates to the Marikana massacre. So based on that, you can open a case, but if the NPA doesn't think that there is a case, if the police have not conducted an investigation and then referred the docket to the NPA for possible prosecution, then there is no There is no merit in according to the ANC guidelines.
Let me ask you this. In the event, we don't know at the moment. We don't know what Arthur Fraser has got up his sleeve or what more he has up his sleeve. In the event that things progress to the point where the NPA decides to lay charges or to prosecute, rather, what then would happen with the president?
Of course, Brabai, it would be game over. I don't think that he himself would want to avail himself for a second term when, in an instance that happens, when his whole campaign and his whole presidency is based on a cleanup, and now he'll be facing charges. And also the ANC guidelines that he was really championing do not allow that. Do not allow anyone who is facing any kind of criminal charges to stand for any position. So in that instance, Brahma, then President Ramaphosa would not be eligible to stand for re-election or may also be asked to step aside before he even finishes his term.
But that would depend on what the NPA decides to do, presumably?
Yes, it only depends on what Arthur Fraser has and whether the NPA can ignore it or not.
Yeah, that's the point I wanted to make.
Yeah.
And the critical thing, I mean, given the statement Shoba has just put out, not on behalf of the president, Shoba.
No, put it like that, you know?
But given the statement from the presidency that Shoba just alerted us to, the following line becomes very important. This is from the statement with where Fraser is referring to charges and stuff. He says they are also, meaning the cases, including defeating the ends of justice, kidnapping of suspects, their interrogation on his property and bribery. The president concealed the blah, 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 and thereafter paid the culprits for their silence. So the question that many of us in the country are going to be asking is whether or not, to Shoba's point, Fraser has the evidence to support this very line that I just read.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there's any interrogation that happened, including the that included the president, or whether it was by the, as they allude, whoever the president reported the matter to, if there's evidence that there was a decision to conceal, or whoever else made the payment. So the question is going to be, who? Is it the president or is it somebody else? And if it's somebody else and Fraser fails to come up with that information or that evidence, then it becomes clear that, this statement was, Fraser's statement was meant to hype people's emotions and to get people to drum up anti-Ramaphosa kind of support. But if he has it, then we have the makings of a perfect storm, because then the things we spoke about earlier of the president stepping aside and the NPA investigating or deciding to charge might then unleash things that have very serious political implications for our country.
Okay, Shoba, the last word will go to you. Now, we're speculating here. We're saying, what if Arthur Fraser has this? What if he's got more? What if he's got less? And all of that. The thing that strikes me is that and also Makuru's just alluded to it, that the public confidence in the president, you know, irrespective of whether eventually he gets charged or not, whether Arthur Fraser is being truthful or not, does that not somehow impact on how the public perceives the president? And is that not part of what has gone wrong with ANC politics of using innuendo and smear and threats and hints?
Yes, it does, Bramaik. The president, he has a lot of explaining to do. Was it really $4 million? And what does $4 million do in his farm? Why he had $4 million in his farm? And if it was proceeds of a sale of game, Why are they using cash? Who are these people who are using cash, who are dealing with the president using cash, knowing our financial laws in this country? And what were the tax implications? Was tax paid on this? You know, there are so many questions that come up. Was it really money was really proceeds of sale of game? Where is this money really coming from? Those are the questions that are going to come up from the public, and those are the questions that make us start asking questions around the integrity of the president. Is it someone who deals with money in this manner?
You're reminding us of the CR funds.
He doesn't trust the banking system.
It will have an impact on public trust on the president. And we will put a dark cloud over his head, and at the crucial time when he's headed for re-election.
Okay, unfortunately, we've just about run out of time. We'll wrap it up there on the Sunday Times Politics Weekly for this week. And I'd like to thank our guests for our conversation. Makudus Farah, who's the Times Life editor and deputy editor of Sunday Times, as well as Smangagwon Keshoba, who's the Sunday Times Politics editor. We appreciate your time. I'm Mike Siluma. Until next time, stay safe, stay blessed.